Welcome to another broadcast from LifePoint Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Please stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how God can use you to impact the lives of people around the world. And now, here's today's message.
Last week we talked about the importance of foundations and how critical it is for us to deal with things in our past in order that when we try to build a family that's pleasing to God and a blessing to others, we're not building on a shaky foundation. I told you last week about that building that tipped over, just fell, and I had a picture of it, but the slides weren't working, so maybe you can see that. That's what I was talking about. Shanghai, China, they built that building, and it was almost completed. They had people ready to move into it, and one morning the building just leaned over backwards real slow, and the whole thing just laid down on its back, totally intact. And the reason for that was because they found out the builders did not drill down into the bedrock to secure the building. They built the foundation on mud, and that's the result. And I told you last week that families are just like that. If you and I try to build a family on a shaky, cracked, unsure foundation, if we're bringing all kinds of stuff from our past, which we all do, but if we have not dealt with those issues that we sort of inherited from our parents or hidden sin in our life and issues like that, if we haven't dealt with those things, our family is going to end up just like that, flat on our back, because we have no foundation. So we're talking about hope for families in hectic times. Kelly, if you would bring my mic down just a shade, I would appreciate it. And I want to say this too very quickly. If you're not married today, I'm talking to husbands this morning, okay? Now, if you're a guy here and you're not married, I want you to listen anyway, because chances are you're going to be married one day. And if you can go into your marriage with a head start on some of these things, any married man in here will tell you, I wish I knew some of those things when I got married because I was an idiot. I didn't have a clue what I was doing, right? Guys, most of us were, we were just morons when we got married. We didn't have a clue. Yeah, I'm going to marry that woman. She's going to take care of me. Cook my meals, wash my laundry. It's going to be great. Didn't really work out that way, did it, fellas? Because we're just idiots. We don't know. And so we need all the help we can get. And today I want to talk to men. Even if you're in high school or middle school, we have some young men here today in that age range, I want you to listen today, because this could serve as a great help to you. College students, too, a great help to you in the years to come. I probably don't need to tell you that we live in a day and age where the world continually gives us their definition of what it means to be a man. And it seems to me that it either comes out in the men who play fathers on sitcoms on TV, who are generally represented as bumbling idiots, who can't make decisions, who can't lead their family, they're the butt of the jokes, the kids think they're a joke. And that's one version that our society gives to us about what it means to be a man. Their family doesn't respect them. He doesn't know how to lead. To the other extreme, you've got the movies who show us the Rambo kind of guy. This macho guy who kills things with his bare hands and eats them raw out in the woods, doesn't need anybody, has no feelings, he's cold, he's distant. He's a man, is he? And so we grow up as boys and we get these conflicting messages of what it means to be a man, and consequently we have a generation of men who are either passive and wimpy, they don't take responsibility for their family, they don't stand up and take ownership for their mistakes, or we have guys who think that what it means to be a man is to be tough and macho and to treat their wives like an object. and to make jokes about her to their buddies. And even worse, some men who think that being a man means they could smack their wife around. And I would say to you today that we live in a society that is deeply confused over what it means to be a man, to be a husband, and to be a father. This is why the Bible says to men and commands us as men, as husbands, to understand our wives and to live with them in an understanding way so that we can learn how she needs to be loved. So I want to jump into this morning very quickly. And guys, you know that I love you, right? We've settled that a long time ago, okay? I'm just going to tell you, you need to fasten your seatbelts because we may experience some turbulence. It may get rough. But as far as I know, this may be my only chance to ever share this with you. I'm not promised tomorrow. So I'm going to share some things with us that I think we as men need to hear today. And I will say this too, just to keep the record clear. I have not perfected all of these things. I am a major work in progress when it comes to these things I'm going to talk about. And my guess is you are too. I get to stand up here and bring this message today with my wife and my children in the congregation. You think you have a tough job? Okay, so that takes the accountability to a whole new level, which is a good thing. It's exactly where it needs to be. And if anybody wants to swap places with me right now, if you want to come up and bring this message in front of your wife and kids, feel free to do so. I'll gladly step down. But this is not an easy thing to do because part of teaching these things, these truths that we need to understand, is admitting where you've blown it. Admitting that you've dropped the ball, and I have. So we're all on this journey. I want to share one verse with you this morning. 1 Peter 3:7 says this, man, it's speaking to you. In the same way, they were talking about in previous verses and chapters, all different kinds of relationships in wife, husbands, wives, wives to husbands, bosses to employees, and so on. He says, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. If you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. There's so much that we could unpack from this verse, and I don't have time to cover all of it today. But just let me touch on a couple of things, and then we're going to come back to the main thought that I want to focus on this morning. The first thing it says is give honor to your wife. You know, you hear men all the time quoting those verses, wives, submit to your husbands. I like that verse. The wife is the weaker vessel. I like that one too. But they never quote the next phrase, but she is an equal heir with you. This verse says, husbands, give honor to your wives. Hey, you know, if you go to Bilo and you bring home a bottle of orange juice, you don't take that bottle of orange juice and put it carefully on the mantle and put a spotlight on it. You know why? Because it's a common item that has little value. But if someone gives you a priceless vase that there's only one of in the whole world, you're going to bring that thing home carefully. And you're going to give it a place of special honor in your home, and you're going to put lights on it and maybe put a glass case in front of it. You're going to protect it from damage. You're going to take care of it. You're going to show it off, and you're going to treat it in a special way because it is an item that has great worth. Men, the Bible says that we must give that same kind of special honor to our wives because she has great value. Section there says, your wife may be weaker than you. And I don't know why men get a kick out of that. I mean, why? Do we really get a buzz out of saying, well, yeah, I'm t- tougher and stronger than my wife. What does that accomplish? I mean, there are some women who are stronger than some men. But for the most part, God created men to be stronger physically than women are. There's no shame in that, or there ought to be no bragging in that. God is just saying, this is how I've ordained things. This is how I've created things. And although your wife may be weaker than you physically, she's an equal heir of God's grace. And in God's eyes, your wife is equal to you, men. She has equal value to you. And this verse is cautioning husbands, guys, even though you may be able to take out your frustrations on your wife, even though you may have a stronger, louder, gruffer voice than her, and so you can make her cower in an argument just because you're tougher and bigger than she is, don't you dare do it. It's not your place. You're equal. You're equal in God's sight. The phrase that I want us to take a few minutes and focus on this morning is that section that says, treat her with understanding as you live together. Your version may say, live with your wife in an understanding way. Why does the Bible say and command us men to understand our wives and to live with them in an understanding way? You know why? Because men and women are really, really different. We're really different. Women love to buy shoes. That is a mystery to me. I mean, out of all the things you could buy, why shoes? It doesn't make any sense to me at all. I mean, ladies, you don't know this, but we men, we have secret meetings to talk about that, to try to understand that. Does your wife like shoes? She does. Mine too. I don't know what that means. It's a strange thing. I mean, men and women are different. Women like to wear each other's clothes. Women will actually say, oh, I love that blouse. Could I borrow that for the party next week? You have never in your life heard a man say, hey, Ralph, I like them pants. Mind if I borrow them sometime? You will never hear that sentence spoken, ever. Ever. It's just a weird thing. I mean, we're wired so differently. Why is it that when we're at dinner with a bunch of people and one woman gets up to go to the bathroom, they all just, it's like this secret society thing. And they all go together. I have never once in my life said, hey, Floyd, I'm going to go. You want to go? Yeah, I do. I'm going to go. It's just bizarre. We are different. We are different at the core of who we are. And God did it that way in His design. But listen, those differences, those things that we kid about, and we ought never take that joking too far, by the way, guys. But those things that we kid about that cause us confusion and makes us puzzled, I don't get that. The women are just so different. Why can't they be more like us? And women are going, why can't men be more like us? Those differences create all kinds of problems and misunderstandings between husbands and wives. You'll hear a man say something like this to his wife. What do you mean you don't feel loved? I work my fingers to the bone for you to provide a good home and a car and a good living for you. What more do you want? And the truth of the matter is, he's right and she's right. They're both seeing life from very different angles and they're missing each other along the way. And he's thinking in his heart, I'm doing everything I know to do to show my wife that I love her. But if he has never taken the time to understand his wife, all his best efforts to show love for her, although well-intentioned, will miss the target. And listen, they will leave her feeling unloved, and they will leave him feeling frustrated and angry. Men, this command to you and me to understand our wives and to live with them in an understanding way is one of the greatest things you can ever do for your marriage. And I want to tell you this, guys, as men, it is our responsibility, according to Scripture, it is our responsibility to learn what makes our wife feel loved. It's our job to do that. Surveys have been taken over the years on topics like this. And I just want to share with you a few quick points this morning on some things that wives wish their husbands knew. Number one, be affectionate with her. Guys right now are going, "Oh, Phil, come on. You're selling us out, man." Don't start on that point. Seriously, I have to be affectionate with my wife? Come on, man. You need to be affectionate with her. It doesn't mean you have to be wimpy. It doesn't mean you have to be a girl. It doesn't mean you have to go to crochet classes with her. But you need to be affectionate with your wife. You need to tell her that you love her. Don't be like the jerk who said, "Well, I told my wife I loved her the day we got married, and if that ever changes, I'll let her know." And we laugh at that, and that's a funny joke, but I got to tell you, that's not funny in real life. It's not funny. And it's not manly. It's not godly. Guys, you don't need to be that way. You need to be affectionate with her. You need to compliment your wife. You need to praise her. You need to tell her she looks nice. And it's amazing how quickly some men go negative when I share these things with them. "Well, I'd tell her she looked nice, but boy, she's packed on a few pounds since we got married." And I go, "Dude, have you looked in a mirror lately? You're no prize. I don't think women are going to be standing in line to date you or to marry you. Come on. Look at yourself." "Well, I'd say something nice to her if she ever did something that deserved it." You know, and I go, it's no wonder 6 months later you're sitting there talking to me wondering why your wife has left you. I don't have any problem understanding why she left you at all. Because you're never affectionate with her. You never compliment her. You never tell her she looks pretty. Guys, you need to brag about your wife to other people. That's a huge thing you can do for her. Brag about her to other people. You need to hold her hand. You go, "Oh, come on, Phil, seriously. I got to hold her hand still? We've been married 20 years. She craves that from you. You need to send her flowers. And you don't have to spend $70 for a dozen roses at the florist. What happened somewhere? I think I drifted off for a few years and the price of roses just went from $20 a dozen to $70 a dozen. Who's kidding who? Go to Bilo. Costco. Hey, wherever you need to go to get a deal. But your family doesn't have to go bankrupt for you to do this, but you need to be showering affection on your wife on a regular basis. If nothing else, stop along the side of the road on your way home from work and pick some wildflowers and give them to her. You can be creative. Just make sure you shake all the bugs out before you take them in the house. And don't wait for her birthday to do this. Do it at unexpected times. You need to be affectionate with her. You need to leave love notes for her. You go, "Phil, seriously, end the sermon now. I can't take anymore. We're only on point one. Relax. I'm telling you, it gets worse from here." You don't have to be a poet. You don't have to be an author. Your words may come out and they may sound so stupid to you when you try to write them. Write them anyway. And you don't have to spend $18 on a Hallmark card to do it. That's another thing. How can they charge that much for a piece of folded cardboard? Write it on a post-it note if you need to. Men, listen to me. When your wife dies, I'm telling you, one of the things they will find in her possessions are the notes that you've written to her. Because she treasures those. She treasures them. Don't be such a macho man and say, oh, that's stupid, man. That's for girls. That's for wimps. No, it's not. It's for men who understand how to love their wife. Leave a note stuck to her bathroom mirror sometime. I think any man in here knows how to write the words, I love you. If you can't get anything more out than that, maybe you can just draw a heart. Maybe that's as far as you can go right now. I promise you, she will keep that wrinkled up little post-it note for the rest of her life because she is wired to receive love in that way. And you need to be doing that for her. Goodness, there's so much we could talk about. I need to move on. You need to be affectionate with her. Number two, your wife wants you to be committed to the family. We mentioned a moment ago that, listen, this is just our default mode as a man. We think that if we spend 80 hours at the office working ourselves to death in order to get that promotion, in order to get that raise, so that we can provide better for our family. Ladies, you need to understand that for us as men, that is our way of trying to show that we love you. But men, I want to tell you, you better be careful. I've stumbled in this area. And it's an easy thing to do. And your kids will tell you that they would rather have time with their daddy than to have a house full of expensive things. Years ago, on Christmas Day, I was standing there chatting with my dad, and we were just kind of talking about life, and I just out of the blue, I said, Dad, if you could go back and do anything over in your life, if you could do anything differently, what would it be? Well, my dad is the most evangelistic human being I've ever met in my life. He lives to tell people about Jesus. I thought he would say, I would have witnessed more. I would have preached more sermons on salvation. I would have passed out more tracts to people. You know what he said without batting an eye? He said, I'd spend more time with my family. Men, how are you doing in this area? Are your kids growing up without you? It's not going to be worth it. As I said, I've come so dangerously close to this. Just a couple of years ago, I stood with some friends in a restaurant parking lot not far from here one night, and we were talking about this, and they just challenged me, Phil. The church is not worth sacrificing your family for. Don't let your kids grow up without you. And I knew that already, but it's such a dangerous thing to allow that to slip into our lives that we turn around and our kids are gone, and we miss them. Your wife wants you to be committed to the family. Bill Hybels, pastor of Willow Creek, said that he remembers from the time he was a little boy, his dad was a very, very important man, a very busy, well-to-do businessman. But he said that one of the things he remembers most about his childhood, and this was back before the days of cell phones, his dad had a special telephone line put into his office, and he only gave that number to his children. And they said, you call me. He said, you call me any time. And Bill says he can remember as a boy calling that number and hearing his dad say, hey, Billy, hold on a second. And then he'd hear his dad say, gentlemen, you need to leave. I have an important call. Bill Hybels said he can't remember how much money his dad made a year. And he could care less. But he remembers that. He remembers that. Guys, your wife wants you to be committed to your family. She appreciates your hard work. And women, you need to tell your man that. Thank him for the hard work that he invests for your family. But man, listen, your family comes first. And I know it's a tough balance. I understand that.
It is a tough balance, but don't lose the battle in that area. And guys, being committed to your family includes helping out around the house. If you're the kind of man who never lifts a finger to help your wife do the dishes or do the laundry, then you're not a man, you're a chauvinist. I still love you guys. I'm just telling you the truth. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives in the same way that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Some of us aren't even willing to give up one quarter of a football game to get off our rear end and help our wife with something. Shame on us. We're chauvinists if we live that way. And I've been guilty of the same thing. I have to constantly remind myself of these things. Number three, it gets better. Talk to her and listen to her. This is another fundamental difference between men and women. It's just a core DNA difference. Again, studies have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that women have like 85 trillion words a day or something like that that they need to speak. Men have like 4. And it's a core difference between us. And listen, we ought not to put each other down because we were made differently. That's why the Bible says live together in an understanding way. Women can talk on the phone for hours. If I had to talk on the phone for hours, I'm telling you, like 28 minutes in, I'd have to go get the encyclopedia and just start looking up random topics to talk about because I would run out of things to say. I don't have that many words. Men, we can see each other and go, how's it going? Fine. How's it going with you? Fine. And to us, that is a deep, meaningful conversation. Isn't it, men? And we walk away going, man, I really like that guy. We bonded right there. That was great. That's all we need. Men, just because this talking thing doesn't come naturally for us, listen, doesn't excuse us from talking to our wives. We need to understand that we're made fundamentally different in this way, and as a husband and a wife, we need to meet somewhere in the middle. We need to find a place of agreement. Wives, don't expect your husband to come home spewing forth volumes of information about his day, even though you're desperate to hear it. Meet him somewhere halfway. Men, don't get mad at your wives because she asks you questions and she wants to know what's going on in your life. Meet her halfway. Live with her in an understanding way. Be wise about this. If you were to take my weekly calendar and look at it, you would see that several times every week I have appointments on my calendar for time to talk with Sandy. Nobody else gets those time slots. If you call me up and go, hey, can we meet? I go, yeah, I can't meet right then, but I could meet you an hour later. Because they're not negotiable for me. She doesn't get my leftovers. I commit to her several times a week. It's on the books. Sandy and I are getting together by ourselves at home or at a restaurant over lunch, and we're going to spend an hour talking to each other. It's not my default mode. That doesn't come naturally for me, but it's important for us to do that. Men, you need to discipline yourself to talk to your wife, and you need to plan for it. Make time to do it. Number four, quickly, your wife wants you to be the spiritual leader of your home. Let me just say this, too. This just came to mind. Guys, I just want to tell you this. If you belittle your wife for wanting to talk as much, for wanting to be emotionally connected with you, if you criticize her and belittle her for that, listen, man, listen. You are shaming her for something that is not her fault. and you are criticizing the workmanship of God because God made her that way. I just want to throw that in. Your wife wants you to be the spiritual leader of your home. Ephesians 6:4. Guys, it's speaking to you. It says, fathers, do not embitter your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Men, you are commanded by God to be the leader of your family. And here's the ironic part. It doesn't necessarily mean you're a better leader than she is. You can chew on that one for a while. That's the truth. It doesn't mean you're smarter than she is. You're probably not. What it means is in the designed order of God's creation, for whatever reason he chose to do this, he said, man, you are going to be the leader of your home, and I want you to step out and lead. God has charged you with that responsibility. And we live in a society where men have abdicated that responsibility, and so women have taken it up, and they're doing a good job with it. But it's not God's design. And it doesn't matter what the National Organization of Women say about this. And frankly, I disagree with what they're saying, but I understand why they're saying it. It doesn't matter what they say about this issue. And it may not be politically correct, but I'm telling you, from God's word and from His design, man, you need to lead your home. Your wife and your children are hardwired by God at their core level to want to follow your leadership if you're leading them in a godly way. They just naturally respond to that. That's how God has made them. Families will follow their dads. Wives will follow their husbands if the men are leading in a Christ-like way. It's just a natural response. It's like breathing. Listen to these statistics. This is fascinating. Robert Lewis shared this in his one of his men's deals that he did. Listen to this. If 100 kids go to church, 25 families will eventually follow. Okay, so 100 kids at random. If they just start going to church in time, 25 families will end up going to church. If 100 wives go to church, 20 families will eventually follow. Listen to this. Listen. If 100 dads go to church, 97 families will follow. Men, you were made to lead your family. And there's nothing chauvinistic about that. Step up and lead, guys. How are you doing in this area? There's so much we could say. I need to wrap it up. Are you leading? I've had moments in my marriage where I was just tired. And I just laid the leadership down. I'm like, I'm just done for a while. I just want to veg out. And I did. And our family started to crumble. We can't do that. It's hard, but we've got to lead our family. We must. Finally, number 5. This is so important, guys. I want you to get this. Your wife wants you to pursue her. Think back to when you were dating your wife. Think of all the special little things that you did for her constantly. Why? Because you were trying to win her. And then when you got married, you stopped doing all that stuff. Because you figured, in our brilliant male intellect like we do, we figured, well, I got her. I won her. So I can put my trophy up on the shelf and I can kick back. And I can relax. Men, by nature, are hunters. Now, I'm not a real hunter. I don't really like shooting animals that haven't bothered me. If they bother me, you know, that's a different story. We might talk about it. But, I'm not a hunter by nature. But at the core of who I am, God made me to be a hunter. And you too, guys. And our nature is that we go out and we hunt for something, whether it's a career, whether it's a woman, whether it's more money, whether it's a car, whatever it is, we hunt for that. And once we've got it, we go, well, game's over. I won. And I can kick back now and I can relax. tell you guys, that's one of the biggest mistakes you could ever make in your marriage. Just because you married her doesn't mean you stop pursuing her. Your wife wants to be pursued by you for the rest of your life. I remember so well when Caroline was a little girl. I have such clear memories of this, and I have some old photographs of it. She did what all little girls do. She would go into her room, and she would pull out one of her princess dresses, and she would put it on. Just a little bitty girl. And she would, I know, I'm sorry, baby. She's 15 now, so she got her learner's permit recently, so it's all changing. But she's a sweet, beautiful, precious teenage girl, and I love her to death. And I was thinking this week back on those times when I would look up in my office and I would see this princess standing in front of me. And she would twirl around and she'd hold her dress out and she'd say, "Daddy, do you like it? Am I pretty?" And I'd go, "Baby, you are the most beautiful princess in the world." Men, what I want you to know is that when that little girl grows up and becomes a woman, she doesn't stop asking that question. Except she's not asking her daddy anymore. Husbands, she's asking you. And here's the thing. When a woman grows up and she's felt the pain of rejection and she's not that innocent little princess anymore, she starts to guard herself now. And even though she's asking that same question, she doesn't ask it in those same words because that's too risky. Now she asks the question in a negative way, just to be safe. And she comes into you, "Husbands," and she says, "Does this dress make me look fat?" But here's what you need to know. She's asking the same question. "Am I pretty?" And man, I want to tell you what, especially here in the South, we have a lot of guys who just, they're just bubbas and rednecks, and they think, "Well, I know what my woman wants, and I just tell her like it is, and when she asks me if the dress makes me look fat, I go, yeah, it sure does." I want to tell you what, men, if you do that, and I say this in love, if you do that to your wife, you are an idiot. Because she's not asking if she's fat. She's saying, "Am I still beautiful? Do you still want to pursue me?" Some of your wives have been doing everything they can to get you to notice her. Everything they can. And they're trying to get you to notice her and to love her and to pursue her. Man, I want to tell you something. If you're taking notes, you need to write this down. You are the only legitimate source of emotional intimacy for your wife. You are the only legitimate source of emotional intimacy for your wife. I said intimacy, not sex. They're different. People all the time, all over the world, have sex with no intimacy. They're different. I said you are the only legitimate source of emotional intimacy for your wife. And if you are not meeting her emotional needs, you're forcing her to seek other ways to get that need met. I want to close, guys, by sharing just a couple of tough thoughts with you. Isn't this fun today? I don't know who you are, but there are some here today, I guarantee you. I could go out in the crowd at downtown Greenville and gather 50 people, and there would be some people there in this condition. There are some of you here this morning. You've dropped the ball in a big way in some of these areas, and your relationship is maybe hanging by a thread. And so I want to say to you guys this morning that if there is any reconciliation that needs to take place between you and your wife, what I want to tell you is that the responsibility for that falls squarely on your shoulders.
You go, Phil, man, it's not my fault. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, but Phil, if you just knew what she... Doesn't matter.
It's your job, men, to take the first step towards your wife and make things right.
You go, well, man, you know what? If she'd straighten up a little bit... No.
When Jesus was going to the cross to pay for your sins, he didn't stop and go, hey, wait a second. That person, fill your name in there, well, they're still busy in their sin. Why in the world would I lay my life down for them? They haven't even apologized to me yet. What if Jesus had said, I tell you what, if they get their act together, I'll lay my life down for them. That's not what he said. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And men, you are called to love your wife in the same way that Christ loved the church. And that means being a man. It means stepping up to the plate. And if you have to get on your knees when you get home today in front of your wife and say, I'm sorry for treating you like a pig, you need to do it. The Bible says if you don't treat her the way you need to treat her, your prayers will not be heard. You know why? Because your wife is God's daughter. And dads, you tell me which one of you, if there was some punk treating your daughter like a jerk, you tell me you wouldn't be ticked off about it. Of course you would. God feels the same way about your wife. He goes, man, you're not living with my daughter in an understanding way. Don't even talk to me until you deal with that. Imagine what would happen if every husband in this church started loving his wife the way Christ loves the church. Imagine what would happen to your family. Imagine what would happen to this church. Imagine what would happen to this community. It'd be a revolution.
It's up to you, guys. I have two questions for you in closing. In what area are you failing to meet your wife's emotional needs? And number two, what steps will you take this week to begin meeting those needs? Maybe some extra resources will help. I've suggested three great books for you here. What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Women by James Dobson. The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. And For Men Only by Shanti and Jeff Feldhahn. You go, well, you know, I ain't much of a reader. Now might be a real good time to start. Men, I'm telling you, we think we know how to love our wives. We don't know so much. But the Bible has given us the answers on how to live with our wife in an understanding way. And whether your wife ever responds to you or not, we're still called to love them as Christ loved the church. You see, so often we go, okay, well, I'll try this, but then she better... No, that's not love. Love is serving. Love is laying down your life regardless of the response. We're called to do the right thing. But I will tell you this, guys, to end on a very good note, I will tell you this. If you begin loving your wife in a Christ-like way, with some of the things we've talked about this morning, I'm telling you, you will be amazed at the woman who suddenly emerges. A woman who loves you like you've always wanted to be loved. And just because you haven't seen that in years doesn't mean she's not there. She's there. And she wants to be loved this way. And when you love your wife this way, she will respond to you, and you'll have the wife you've always wanted. It starts with you, though, guys. What are you going to do about it this week? Let's pray. Father, I just pray you would take this one simple verse from 1 Peter. I pray that you would brand it onto the hearts and minds and souls of every one of us men. Lord, truth is, we do our best, I think, in most things, but if our best is just missing our wife by a mile, then we're off course. We need your help. I pray if there are husbands here this morning who need to go home and humble themselves and take that first step to reconcile with their wives, God, give them the guts to be men enough to do that. I pray you'd begin to restore homes this very week for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If today's message has been an encouragement to you, would you consider partnering with this ministry to help reach more people with a life-changing message of Jesus Christ? Your financial gift would be a direct investment in changing lives for eternity by allowing us to continue spreading the gospel to people around the world. If God enables you to give, just visit our website at lifepointsc.org and click the online giving button. If you prefer to contact us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening and for your investment in the mission of Christ. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.
So come back to the light, to the love, you will find it's been here all along. So come back to the start and you find in your heart that you always belonged. So come back.